My address today is entitled, Let the Divine Assail You. It asks you to consider the interconnection between the divine and the ordinary, between the eternal and the everyday, between the sacred and the secular, between the numinous and the normal. Exploring this connection, it argues, brings benefit both to one's spiritual life and to the mundane practicalities of just living. Put more simply, we may discover and experience the divine in our daily tasks, while in turn our real-world labor may become enriched and guided by the divine. But first, two stories. My rite of confirmation when I was 13 was an event I remember well. In the Church of St. John the Baptist in Black Rock, County Dublin, we boys assembled to be each asked a question about our knowledge of the faith and be confirmed by a bishop of the diocese holding an impressive crozier. As my turn for questioning approached, I stared downward in an anxious way. After I answered the bishop's question correctly, I glanced up at this tall, stern, distant man. As he moved on to the boy beside me, I wondered what would have been my fate had I failed to answer the question he asked me. What was the fourth commandment? While I have fond memories of the day, the bishop, I feel now, belonged with the gods of dispassion and severity. My other story took place also in a church. Just recently, I've had the opportunity to visit St. Patrick's Chapel, College Chapel, on Maynooth University campus. Completed in 1891 and used by the seminarians and priests of St. Patrick's Pontifical University, it must be one of the most beautiful places of worship in Ireland, an outstanding masterpiece of architecture and design. The chapel contains 454 carved choir stall seats, making it the largest of its kind in the world. There is a magnificent rose window and much wonderfully crafted ornamentation throughout. My abiding impression is of a pre-Raphaelite tone of lightness, colour, and emotion. And the eyes are continually drawn upwards to the soaring 21-metre high ceiling, painted in exquisite and storied detail. I was truly spellbound in awe. So where do we look for the divine? Where does our God reside? Where is eternity? If asked, many people might look upwards to the skies and the stars. Others, perhaps of a gloomier disposition, might look downwards to the supposed place of our biblical God's nemesis. The search is somehow up-down, vertical, structured, ordered, and exclusive. So today I wonder, is it possible to engage with religion and the search for the spiritual, not so much in a vertical, up-down way, but in a more horizontal, organic, back-and-forth, inclusive manner? In other words, let us see the divine and the everyday as closely interwoven. Let us find and experience the divine in our daily tasks. Equally, these real-world tasks become enriched and deepened by the divine. What is everyday can also be eternal. The French philosopher, mystic, and political activist Simone Weil declared, "To be always relevant, we must speak eternal things." To understand this deep and, I believe, meaningful entanglement, it is beneficial to define what we mean by divine. We come together in a free-thinking church with a liberal theology. Most of us are happy to define the divine across a wide spiritual spectrum. The divine should, I quote, include multitudes, to borrow Walt Whitman's phrase. So we engage with the divine, with God, whatever you consider him or her to be, and we encounter the profoundly spiritual in many ways and spaces. In a church or a house of worship, but also, of course, in nature with its beauty and mystery, with music, art, and literature, but also in the daily and often messy business of just living our human lives. We observe, experience, or perhaps practice acts of kindness, compassion, and mercy in our everyday labor. We witness deeds of suffering, alienation, cruelty, but we also see feats of struggle, redemption, and forgiveness. And all of this in the wondrous project of just living our ordinary daily lives. To pray, to reflect deeply, to contemplate, to have a meditative silence, to ponder the transcendent, to be simply astonished, to be troubled, to be angered. During these moments where the everyday and the divine entangle and connect, can give us renewed meaning and belief in our lives. On such occasions, we can have profound and useful insight and experience feelings of gratitude, of hope, of healing, and of good intention. We can sense a call to reset our way ahead, a call to action, a call to do better. The insight and experience may be reinvigorating and transformative. It may help us to try and lead more worthwhile and decent lives. Perhaps in that moment, we can speak of a connection, a communion of the everyday and the divine. Consider there may be some divine not up there or down there or out there, but within us. Consider there is divine within each of us. I remind you of the words of Pierre Teilhard de Chardin, the French Jesuit priest and theologian. We are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. Teilhard de Chardin was also a paleontologist. Paleontologists explore a vast range of ancient life forms, from microscopic organisms to colossal mammals. This field intertwines geology, biology, chemistry, and ecology to reconstruct the evolution of life over billions of years. Teilhard de Chardin applied this evolutionary understanding of the universe to spiritual life. He came to see the origin and purpose of human life, not just the result of a single long past act of creation. Rather, he perceived human life as participating in an ongoing process of creation, a co-creation of the human and divine. I quote Teilhard de Chardin: "By means of all created things, without exception, the divine assails us, penetrates us, and molds us. We imagined it as distant and inaccessible, when in fact we live steeped in its burning layers." I'll repeat those two lines. "We imagined it as distant and inaccessible, when in fact we live steep in its burning layers." The divine assails us. Teilhard de Chardin contended that humankind is actively partaking in an ongoing process of becoming, a continuing journey of growth in human consciousness, understanding, and knowledge. Again, I quote Teilhard de Chardin: "We are not spiritual defenders. We are spiritual explorers in pursuit of greater spiritual knowledge and understanding." In his wonderful address in this church last October, entitled "What Is, Is," Frank Tracy spoke to us of Teilhard de Chardin and of the interwoven relationship between the natural world and the supernatural world to be found in Celtic Christianity. If you weren't present at Frank's address on the day, I urge you to listen to it in podcast. And it's also reproduced in the January of this year's edition of Uskult, which is also available online. I thought it was a very profound and helpful address. Frank quotes St. Columbanus, a 6th century Irish missionary: "All of life, all of nature, pulsates with the life force of creation, and there is nowhere where the Creator is not." This conception of a divine presence in all creation and of humans actively participating in an ongoing process of becoming helps, I believe, to navigate a faith contradiction that many feel is present in the Christian church. On the one hand, we have the person, and for many also the God, of Jesus Christ, who speaks of the need for boundless love and compassion, and who identifies strongly with the poor and the marginalized. On the other hand, the conventional church and the official dogma present us with a God who is often distant and afar, if not dispassionate and severe. So we may choose to pray with the God above, but we may also choose to pray with the divine within. Taoism, as a religion and a philosophy, also embraces this meaningful entanglement between the natural and the supernatural, between the everyday and the sublime. Harmony, balance, and inclusion all underpin Taoist thinking. It is founded on a belief in the principle of unity of two opposite forces, yin and yang. These forces are seen as opposites yet complementary, constantly shaping the dynamics of the universe. for example, day versus night, the earthly versus the heavenly. Their balance is crucial in maintaining the natural order and harmony. The symbol of Taoism, two tear-shaped forms contained within a circle, each exactly reflecting the other, one white, one black, represents a powerful visualization of this duality. I will read again the opening lines of the Tao, the prayer by Lao Tzu I recited earlier in the service. It captures the notion of creation as a continuing process of becoming, of shaping and reshaping. Before creation, a presence existed, self-contained, complete, formless, voiceless, mateless, changeless, which yet pervaded itself with an unending motherhood. Moving towards conclusion, I make a recommendation. Visit Brú an Boina in the Boyne Valley of County Meath, the Bend in the Boyne, and its wondrous passage tombs of Newgrange and Knout. Built over 5,000 years ago during the Neolithic era, these tombs are older than the pyramids, Stonehenge, and the Mycenaean culture of ancient Greece. They are awe-inspiring. While Newgrange is widely known for its solar alignment during the winter solstice, the other site of Knout has even more archaeological and artistic interest. The discovery and excavation of Knout is associated with the distinguished archaeologist George Ogan. In 1968, he became the first person in over a millennium to enter the east side of the tomb at the site. Here, Ogan recounts in a subsequent book his Tutankhamun moment. Before me, in the lamp's beam, was the most amazing sight of my life. What a structure, what a surprise. I had never expected a second tomb in the main mound, let alone such a more impressive one. And having wriggled through some difficult parts in the passage on my way in, my presence alone in the tomb, despite its massiveness, gave me a sense not of isolation, but of security. To conclude, take heed of Pierre Teilhard de Chardin. Be spiritual explorers. Let the divine assail you. Amen.